Hey, good morning. Let's turn to 1 Samuel, chapter 23. 1 Samuel 23. Then they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines are fighting against Keilah and are plundering the threshing floors." So David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and attack these Philistines?" And the Lord said to David, "Go and attack the Philistines and deliver Keilah." Then David's men said to him, "Behold, we are afraid here in Judah. How much more, then, if we go to Keilah against the ranks of the Philistines?" Then David inquired of the Lord once more, and David and the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will give the Philistines into your hand." So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, and he led away their livestock and struck them with a great slaughter. Thus David delivered the inhabitants of Keilah. Now it came about when Abiathar, the son of Ahimelech, fled to David at Keilah, that he came down with an ephod in his hand. And when it was told Saul that David had come to Keilah, Saul said, "God has delivered him into my hand, for he shut himself in by entering a city with double gates and bars." So Saul summoned all the people for war to go down to Keilah to besiege David and his men. Now David knew that Saul was plotting evil against him, so he said to Abiathar the priest, "Bring the ephod here." And David said, "O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to Keilah to destroy the city on my account. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as thy servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell thy servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then David said, "Will the men of Keilah surrender me and my men into the hand of Saul?" The Lord said, "They will surrender you." Then David and his men, about 600, arose and departed from Keilah, and they went wherever they could go. And when it was told Saul that David had escaped from Keilah, that he gave up the pursuit. And David stayed in the wilderness, and the strongholds remained in the hill country in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul sought him every day, but God did not deliver him into his hand. Now David became aware that Saul had come out to seek his life while David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh. And Jonathan, Saul's son, arose and went to David at Horesh and encouraged him in God. Thus he said to him, "Do not be afraid, because the hand of Saul my father shall not find you, and you will be king over Israel, and I will be next to you, and Saul my father knows that also." So the two of them made a covenant before the Lord, and David stayed at Horesh while Jonathan went to his house. Then Ziphites came up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is David not hiding with us in the strongholds at Horesh on the hill of Hakilah, which is in the south of Jeshimon? Then now, O king, come down according to all the desire of your soul to do so, and our part shall be to surrender him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "May you be blessed of the Lord, for you have had compassion on me. Go now, make more sure, and investigate and see this place where his haunt is, and who has seen him there, for I am told that he is very cunning. So look and learn about all the hiding places where he hides himself, and return to me with certainty, and I will go with you. And it shall come about that if he is in the land, that I will search out him out among all the thousands of Judah." Then they arose and went to Ziph before Saul. Now David and his men were in the wilderness of Maon in the Arabah to the south of Jeshimon. When Saul and his men went to seek him, they told David that he came down to the rock and stayed at the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard it, he pursued David in the wilderness of Maon. And Saul went on one side of the mountain, and David and his men on the other side of the mountain. And David was hurrying to get away from Saul, for Saul and his men were summoning David and his men to seize them. But a messenger came to Saul, saying, "Hurry and come, for the Philistines have made a raid on the land." So Saul returned from pursuing David and went to meet the Philistines. Therefore, they called the place the Rock of Escape. And David went up from there and stayed in the strongholds of En-Gedi. Amen. So this is still, in fact, this is going to lead us all the way through until the end of 1 Samuel, basically until Saul dies, and it's David who is running away from Saul. And remember, he is told by the prophet to go back to Judah because he really hasn't done anything wrong. And so he's basically hiding from one place to another. While he's hiding, there's a certain small town of Keilah, and they're being attacked by the Philistines. And so what they decide to do here is to actually, he inquires of God, "Should we go fight?" And because basically, if you fight, you come out to the open. This is probably not a good thing in terms of their hiding, but they go ahead and do that anyway. One thing that you want to notice through this, and you know, I don't have to go through all the narrative here, but notice that every time David is confronted with a situation, he doesn't talk to his generals. He doesn't necessarily talk to the priests and get their advice. Every single time he goes and he talks to God. And he says that he inquires of the Lord. Now, back in these days, what that meant, and so in the Old Testament, especially as it pertains to the priests, whenever you hear that phrase, they inquired of the Lord, which basically meant that there was the priestly garment, and they had these stones on the garment, and they were called the Urim and Thummim. And what that meant was that when they inquired of God, one of the stones would shine, or there would be some form of manifestation by which the answer from God would come in that way. And so when David goes, and remember, Abiathar brought the priestly garment as he was running from Nob away from Saul. I mean, remember, he's the one who escaped. And so by risking his life, he brings all the elements with him. And so one of them would be the ephod. And in fact, in this chapter, it restates it again that he had brought the ephod there. And so every single time they went and they inquired of the Lord. And it made very clear that whatever he did, before he went out and did anything, he asked God. Now that's so, different than, if we're going to be honest, what a lot of us do in that regard. And when we are making decisions and when we are coming to the place where we have to decide things, most of us, we focus or on our intellect, or we focus on our wisdom, or we focus on other people that have wisdom and intellect, counselors, pastors, other leaders in that way. Now, there's nothing necessarily wrong with that, because if you look in this passage, the first thing that happens is that David inquires of the Lord, and he gets the answer, but then his men say, okay, I don't know, David. I don't know about this. This is not going to look good for us. And so then he goes and inquires of the Lord again. And so there's nothing necessarily wrong with doing that, but the key is that they went and talked to God. They went and asked God what they should be doing. They went and asked the Lord exactly who they should be going out for, when and why, and all the details. I mean, they really went before the Lord. And I think this is a really good illustration for us and how we should really live our lives, that we're not basing it on our own strength or our own desires, our own intellect, but really, really asking God what he wants. And notice all throughout the narrative, God is very faithful to meet David where he's at and to instruct David in the things that he needs to be doing, whatever the case may be. Either should we go fight for these people? Yes, go fight for these people. Later on, he hears that Saul is going to come, and the simple idea, is this verse 10, O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has heard for certain that Saul is seeking to come to Keilah to destroy the city. Will the men of Keilah surrender me into his hand? Will Saul come down just as thy servant has heard? O Lord God of Israel, I pray, tell the servant. And the Lord says, yes, he's going to come down. And yes, these men are going to deliver you. So they leave. They go on to another place. And how important it is for us, and I mean, obviously this is life and death situations, but God is intimately interested in all of our going ins and going outs. He's involved in every part of our life, and he wants us to be directed by him. He wants our path to be straight in that regard. And so, yes, I mean, you can see the professionals and go through all those things, but the most important would be really from hearing from the Lord. The whole idea of hearing God's voice is so central to our relationship with God. Remember, I talk about this once in a while, but remember, God's primary revelation to man is he speaks. It's not an idol. It's not some place. It's the revelation that he brings to us is that he speaks to us. And so we see his voice and him leading us and guiding us through his voice to be a constant theme running all through the scriptures. So it's important for us to be sensitive to his voice. Now, we don't have the Urim and Thummim anymore. Well, at least us Gentiles, we don't really operate in this way, but we have the Holy Spirit. And we have the Spirit that speaks to us, and he lives in us, and he witnesses in our hearts what God is doing. Even in Romans 8, he says, we don't know how to pray, but the Spirit intercedes on our behalf with moans and groans too deep for words. In other words, he knows the mind of God. He knows the mind of Christ, and he'll lead us in that way. And so it's important for us to really cultivate a listening relationship with the Father, a real listening relationship with the Lord. And this is probably so even more so when we talk about ministry, or particularly, especially a pastoral ministry. You know, there are so many things that you can speak on. There are so many things in the Bible that you can teach, and themes and all these things. But what you really need is you need the now word. You need fresh bread. And so you need to hear what God wants to say to his people. How is a pastor supposed to figure that out? It's by hearing God's voice. It's by being sensitive to the Lord and his heart. And in that place, God speaks to us. And I know many times, I know a lot of people are, you know, a little afraid of his voice and these type of things. But more so afraid that we may not be so privileged that God would speak to us. And I want to tell you that if you live uprightly before the Lord and that you want to do God's will, I would say it's very difficult for you not to hear God's voice. Again, you live uprightly before God, and you want to do his will. In other words, God's not going to say something to you and you totally disregard what he's saying, but in your heart, you really want to do the will of the Lord. I would say it would be very difficult for you not to hear God's voice. Because what he wants holiness, and he wants yieldedness or willingness. And when you have those things going together, you will hear the voice of the Lord. And he will direct your life. He will direct your life in terms of your relationships. He will direct your life in terms of your finances. He will direct your life in terms of your career and what to do and where to go, and should I leave my company, and you know, should I join this company, and should I do this or that? God, that's what he does. He's the shepherd. He always leads us. But we need to stop and hear his voice instead of our own voice, instead of our own desires. And if we do that, if we set our heart in that way, man, we would really have a blessed, blessed life. And we'd be on the cusp of what the Lord is doing, you know, all over the world. And so he's coming to this place, and one of the overriding themes, especially in this particular chapter, is really the sovereignty of God. In the end of 14, it says, but God did not deliver him into his hand. And the Lord saved David over and over again. I mean, as we go through the rest of this chapter, or this book, we're going to see over and over again God rescuing David, because it wasn't his time. Because his prophecy, his destiny was to be the king, and he saves him. Notice, I mean, when you think of this, notice how easy it is for people that want to meet with David, that are friendly to David. They have access to David all the time. You see, Jonathan, he just shows up. He knows where David is, and he meets with him. Where Saul constantly is prevented from engaging with David. In fact, at the end of this chapter, we find that they're actually on the same mountainside now, one on top of the one on the other side of the other, and Saul is closing in. And next thing you know, just in the nick of time, he gets a word that the Philistines have invaded the land. So he leaves and departs to fight against the Philistines. And in fact, the Rock of Escape, or really the stronghold of En-Gedi, it's still to this day, this is where robbers and people that are looking for refuge, even to this day, En-Gedi is the place where they go and they hide amongst the caves. And so we see even people were betraying David. And yet God always protected him, because he had a destiny in mind. And it's this simple idea of continually hearing God's voice and having a relationship with the Lord, an intimate relationship where you can hear from the Lord. And out of that place, everything flows. And when we're following God and when we're obeying the Lord, everything flows. And your life becomes a straight path instead of a crooked path in this regard. And we see this happening over and over again in David's life. Okay, so let's close our eyes. Let the Holy Spirit speak to us today. How sensitive are you to the voice of God? Are you relying on man's ways. And there's nothing necessarily wrong with that. But God's ways must supersede man's ways. When we make decisions in our life, are we inquiring of God or relying on expertise, either our own or other people's? Again, nothing wrong with that, but the Lord must supersede all things. You know, I shared this a few weeks ago. You know, sometimes God offends our mind to reveal our heart. And He may ask us to do things that just don't seem very logical, but it really reveals what's in our heart. Remember, He says, my ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts higher than yours. Let's ask God this morning for a sensitivity to His Holy Spirit, that we would hear, that He would direct and lead our life, just like He led David's. I love that fact about David. Every step of the way, he inquired of God.
Nothing worth There's nothing worth more that will ever come close. Nothing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, when my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come flood this place and fill the atmosphere. Your glory, God, is what our hearts long for. to be overcome by your presence, Lord. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness. Let us become more aware of your presence. Let us experience the glory of your goodness.
Let's pray that, huh? Let's pray that we would have more of the presence of the Lord in that place of peace, in that place where He speaks, that we would really cultivate a deep relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and His Holy Spirit would constantly be speaking to us, that we'd hear a voice behind us that says, go to the left or go to the right, or go in this way. That's our privilege as children of God. The issue is not necessarily does God speak. The issue is, are we listening? God is always speaking. And it takes more than words to stay alive. It takes a steady stream of words that flow from God's mouth. It's Matthew chapter 4. And so let's pray for real sensitivity to Him, that we would hear and we'd be led by Him, led by the Spirit. And let's pray. Let's go to our community prayers, and let's pray for our community that are battling cancer and going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing word. Pray for our community that are battling illness but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical and spiritual healing. Let's pray for our community battling non-cancer related illnesses, and let's pray for God's healing touch. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision and open doors. Let's pray over our mission focus, and let's pray for Cambodia today. Let's lift up Grace and Ministry at Bloom. Let's pray for Japan and Pastor Sophia, especially in her language studies and her ministry at the local church. Let's just lift up these countries and our friends and ask God's will be done, and they will be strengthened and encouraged to continue the race. Just pray over our missions council. Let's pray for our members and ask God to use them, speak to them, give them wisdom, that they would really lead our missional endeavors as a church. Let's lift up our outreach ministries, Agape, HOMI, SP Lives, Freedom Bridge, and Recreation. Let's ask the Lord to use them, to really fill them with the power of the Holy Spirit, and that when they go out, that they would make an impact. Pray for the leaders, and pray that God would just continue to add to their numbers. It would increase volunteers. Pray over our evening activities. Pray for SPU and IP tonight. Thank God for the IP retreat last weekend. Let them continue to grow and love for God and for one another, and to really use them and our college kids as well. Let's pray for House Church tonight, McCain and McRobinson. Let's pray for the leaders. Let's pray that they would just really have an incredible encounter with the Lord, especially as they talk about the prophetic and really practice prophesying over one another tonight. Let's pray. Lord God, we just want to hear your voice, God. We want to be directed by you, want to be led by you. Lord, we want the witness of the Spirit in our life to lead and guide our lives. And we thank you for professionals, God. We thank you for our intellect, and we thank you for the wisdom that you give us, Lord. But God, Lord, we want to be led by you. And so we just say, speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. We want to do your will, God. And so would you lead us and guide us, God, as individuals and as a church, Lord. We thank you. Even today, Lord, let us be led by the Spirit of God. Lord, not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, declares the Lord. So thank you, Lord. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time, and we'll see you guys throughout the weekend.